Glad you guys are here. Y'all stoked about God at the Movies? I hope so. It's awesome. And here's the heart behind it, that we reach people, that we reach people with the truth that God knows them, that he loves them. He has a purpose and a plan for his life. And so let's pack it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Your kids are going to love it. Y'all are going to love it. Here's what's crazy. We see more people come and more people make decisions for Christ than in any other time of the year when we do God at the Movies. It's an unbelievable outreach. Let's be a part of it. Are y'all going to be a part of it? Good. Excellent. Okay, today we are going into the second message in the series, Surrendering to the Deep. And my heart is that we can go deep in our walk with God. And last week, we talked about the simple truth. If I'm going to go deep in my walk with God, here's the first simple truth I have to embrace. I have to choose to go deep. I have to choose to go. It is a choice. Because let me just tell you right now, you have as much of God as you want. And that can be a really convicting thing. I have to choose to go deep in my walk with God. I've been married for next month. It'll be 22 years. I've had to choose to sow into that relationship. Because if I just put it on autopilot, man, have y'all ever put your marriage on autopilot? That guy that's flying on autopilot, that thing just crashes. Like you crash into a mountainside. Has anybody ever had those moments where in marriage it's like you just lost 10,000 feet of altitude in 10 seconds? Come on. Let me tell you how that happens. Because we've put it on autopilot. And we've just gone through the motions, but we've not truly gone deep. We've not invested. We've not been intentional. I know because I've lived that. And I've lived that spiritually as well. And I want us to not just choose to go deep, but to choose it every day. That's the first step. But today we're looking at what the next step really is. If I'm going to go deep with God, and I wrestled with this one, but I think it's probably the one that I've struggled with the most. And here it is. If we're going to go deep with God, we must receive from him to go deep. We have to receive. That means I have to come to God with an open heart, with an open soul, and say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to receive what you speak to me. And that is hard. That's really hard. It's not easy to receive. We think that it is, but and maybe it's just me. But has anybody ever given you a compliment and you like want to slough it off? Come on, has that ever happened to anybody? You're like, oh, no, not really. Like, you're uncomfortable. Somebody gives you a gift, a really nice gift. Or you're uncomfortable because somebody says something nice about you. Or you're uncomfortable because somebody does something really nice for you. Has anybody ever experienced that? Please. Let me just tell you that many people have a problem with being able to receive what God has for them. And so I want three simple things for us to look at, and I hope this isn't a really long message. I actually don't think it will be, because we have to receive some really simple things. So simple, not always easy. Y'all ever play cornhole? Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm good at cornhole. I don't know why. Like it's a bag of corn, and you put it in the little thing. You have to toss it and get it in the hole. Is that a simple game? It's simple. Get the bag into the hole. Is that simple? It doesn't get much simpler, does it? It's in chess, right? Come on, have y'all played it? It's football season. People play this thing, tailgating. Take the bag and throw it in the hole, and the other person has to throw it. It's super simple. Is it always easy? Is it just me, or is it frustrating that you can't get that bag into the hole? And then you throw alcohol into the mix, and there's brawls over stupidity. I could have made that you move the thing. Have y'all been around people that do stupid stuff when something should be really simple? Get the bag, put it in the hole. Because just because something's simple doesn't mean that it's easy. Sometimes the simplest things are the hardest things to get. If it's marriage, love your wife. That's so simple. Put her before you. And yet 50%+, now it's knocking on the door, 60% of marriages end in divorce. Because it's not as easy as it looks, is it? Come on. Is it? Is life as easy as it looks? Should be really simple. We make it complex. We do the same in our relationship with God. So what do we need to receive from God for us to be able to truly go deep in our relationship with him? I think there's really three simple things that if we can just receive these things, it changes everything. Here's the first one. We have to be able to receive God's love. And it seems like so simple. Like, I have to receive God's love. Yes, you do. You have to know that God loves you. You have to know that God thinks good things about you. You have to know that God has something good planned for you. If you don't think that, if you have trouble thinking that God really loves you, let me just tell you, you will always find a distance between you and him, and you will live your life in a shallow relationship because you're choosing not to believe the truth about God. And whenever you don't believe the truth about God, you're believing a lie, and your life becomes one. Because you're not receiving the truth. Everybody knows this verse. Even if you didn't grow up in church, John 3:16, what's it say? Come on, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loved, and because he loved you, he gave the most precious thing to you. And if you have ever had problems receiving something from somebody, like a gift or a compliment or an act of service, God gave you his son. And let me tell you, many people, they have it here, but they miss it here. They miss God's love. They're like, I'm too bad. I'm not good enough. No, don't you know my mess ups? Don't you know who I am? If you only saw it behind closed doors, if you could only see in my mind, and God, you can. And I can receive a measure of love from people because they can't see up here, because they don't see behind closed doors, but God, you do. How can you still love me? So I've gotten older, and there's been a level of maturity and understanding that's come on me. I've had to go back and revisit some things that have happened to me in my life, and now visit them through the lens outside of the emotion of the moment. Outside of years where the strongholds, the blinders in my life have slowly been moved away. I used to tell a story, and I realize now, it's not true. It happened just like I've said it. But it wasn't like I thought it was. I grew up in a very driven family. You're going to succeed in life. Oh, and you should go to med school, join the family business. Well, God called me out of that. And I got a degree in English. That's a literary degree, carried mail for 6 months when I got out of college, married my wife, and then taught school for 2 years before I came on staff at a brand new church that truthfully was it was a disordered mess, but God was there. And I came on as the children's pastor, but they had like 15 kids in children's ministry, but somebody had given the church 30 acres of dilapidated, old, busted up 50,000 square feet of event center that was falling apart and just really nasty. And my responsibility was the 15 kids and then taking care of all of those grounds. And I was janitor guy. And my dad didn't quite understand. And I was had just turned 31 when we planted the church here. And I'll never forget it, where I was standing and what happened. It was the Sunday after we had had our first service. And I'm back at my parents' home in Jennings, standing by the gate to the shop, to the barn, what we call, you know, the barn area. And I'm standing there, and my dad comes up to me, shakes my hand, and he said to me something that tremendously altered my life. He said to me, "Son, I'm proud of you." I kept it together in the moment, but it's one of those things like, when the angel talked to Mary and she pondered on it, I pondered on it. And I used to tell the story. And I'd say, that's the first time my dad really told me he was proud of me. And that's not true. I realized in my own insecurity and immaturity, it was the first time I actually heard him say, "I'm proud of you." though looking back, I realize the countless times he told me that. And I thought it was the very first time he told me, I'm proud of you. It wasn't. It was probably the 250th time, but it was the first time I was in the position, I was in the place where I could hear him say, I'm proud of you. And it had nothing to do with the intention or what I thought were the bad motives or the judgmental attitude that my dad had on him, because looking back, he didn't have it. Guess who did? Me. And it was the first time I was truly able to receive, probably from when I was a little kid, I was able to receive the truth that my daddy really loved me and was proud of me. And it was a benchmark moment in my life. And I can't help but think, many times people, they have that same block between them and God, because you hold yourself to a standard that is impossible to live in your own strength. And when you do mess up, you blame yourself. And then you feel like you're not worthy for God's love. Let me tell you right now, he knew all of your mess ups that you were ever going to make. And get this, he knows all of the mess ups you're going to make in the future. And he still loves you. If you're gonna go deep, you have to be able to receive his love. Sin is a double-edged sword. One side, and it's sharp, is the actual sin where you do what you know you should not do because in a moment you feel like doing it, whatever the motivation is. It's a sharp side and it cuts and there's consequences and it separates us from God. But let me just tell you, God's already forgiven you for that. The second side of sin, that double-edged sword, is the sharper, deeper cutting side. And it's the side of condemnation, where you mess up, you ask for forgiveness, but that condemnation keeps cutting as the enemy whispers in your ear, look what you did. Look where you went. Look who you were with. Look what you said. What did you do doing this? And it keeps you from being able to receive the truth. God loves you. This is a simple message. How do you go deep? You have to receive God's love. Here's the second thing you have to receive. You have to receive God's life. God has a life for you to live. And I don't know what the details of that life are, but I know this, that it's a plan that results in good for you. John 10:10 says, Jesus says this, the thief's purpose, talking about Satan, is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them, can y'all read, if it's yellow, y'all just say it with me. Can y'all do that? Okay. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I don't know what the details are, but Jesus says this, hey, I've called to give you a rich and satisfying life. It doesn't mean that everything's gonna go perfectly. I remember Pastor Josh, who was just up here before me, and this was 4 years ago, probably 3 years ago, when they were in the middle of a stage 4 cancer treatment with his wife for colon cancer. And it was devastating. You know, 25 spots on her liver, an 8-inch mass on one of her ovaries, a 5-inch mass on her colon. That's bad, 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 bad prognosis. And she stands up here on a Wednesday night, and she says this. She says, "I hope nobody ever has to walk through what I'm walking through, but I hope everybody, at least once in their life, gets to feel love like I've felt love." Nobody wants what she had to walk through, right? But guess what happened to her in the middle of it? Rich and satisfying. And today she's nursery director taking care of your kids. Because God is for us, but we have to choose to receive the life that he has for us. Ephesians 2:10 says we're God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. Can I tell you, this is what keeps people from receiving from God. Their identity, they cannot receive, because their identity is something other than this truth. We are God's masterpiece. art is never perfected, it's just abandoned. Have you heard that before? It's never perfected, it's never finished, it's simply abandoned. And yet we look at the greatest masterpieces throughout history and we go, oh my gosh, they're beautiful. Yet at some point, I believe it was Leonardo da Vinci that said that great art is never completed, it's simply abandoned. And God is in process with us, and yet even as the great artist has to step away because it's at a place of unbelief and many times unparalleled beauty, we are God's masterpiece. Do you believe that? Because if you don't, you'll never be able to walk out the life that God has for you. You may be able to feel loved, that yes, I can receive your love, but if you don't believe that you are God's masterpiece, will be unable to walk out the life that he has for you. And you'll miss the second part of this verse, so that we can do the, y'all ready? For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a life for you. Do you receive it? That's why one of my life verses, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster. We're going to read that again. Y'all ready? They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Do you believe that? You have to be able to receive God's love. You have to be able to receive God's life. And here's the third thing. You have to be able to receive God's promises. I'm going to read some. This is not even close to all of them. I'm going to apologize in advance for my speed, but I'll try and do it as slowly as possible. I'm not even reading the scripture verses, but they're all there. I can post it if y'all really want to. God cares for me. That's a promise. God's with me wherever I go. God created me for good things. God keeps me in perfect peace when I set my mind on him. That's a promise. We can walk in peace. Nothing can separate me from his love. God will never leave me or forsake me. God will guide me in all truth. God will never lie to me because he cannot lie. God gives me the words, the right words, when I need them. That's a big one. God helps me to pray. God comforts me. God supplies all of my needs. God won't let me be tried or tempted beyond what I can endure. God will give me a spirit of power, of love, and discipline. God won't let my children become beggars. If I ask him for wisdom, he gives it to me. If I resist the devil, God promises me that the devil will flee. If I draw near to God, he promises that he will draw near to me. If I call on him and turn from my sin, he promises that he will forgive and cleanse me. God promises that he has a plan for me. And God promises that everything that I walk through, even the bad stuff, he'll turn it around for good in the end if I'm called to live his life. Those are just a handful of promises that off the top of my head I'm going through from scripture that I've memorized. Do you know and do you receive God's promises? And it's twofold. You have to know them. Many people, so the Bible says in Habakkuk, it says that the God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. You have to know that God loves you. You have to know that God has a life for you. And you have to know God's promises. But here's the catch. You can know here all of those things, but miss it here because your identity and your focus is on you and the world around you rather than on the promise and the plan and the future and the place that God has for you. Is this making sense, guys? Man, I feel like I'm kind of dry up here, but like I want you to get it that we have to believe. Actually, Romans 4:16 says this. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift. We receive it by believing. I have to not just know. Because let me tell you, you can know and not believe very easy. I can regurgitate scripture and I cannot believe it. I can regurgitate, like memorize scripture and believe none of it. You have to believe because that's here. And this is what matters. It's important that you know here. But my prayer for you is that you get it here and like a coffee maker, like it drips down into your soul and makes something that's gonna wake you up. Hey, that's a pretty good analogy. You have to receive it though. What do we have to, like, what are God's promises? I'm giving you like broad picture. It's not all of them. There's a promise of provision. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. God doesn't give you all of your wants, but he gives you all of your needs. And we have to know that God provides everything I need. Solomon writes in Proverbs, I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Because God supplies all of our needs. He takes care of us. He provides for us. That promise is there. Everybody say provision. I've worried about a lot of things in my life, honestly. I have. I've not really worried ever about provision. And I don't know why that is. I think I do. And we'll talk about them in a bit. Now I'm just having revelation. Yeah, I think I know why. Because faith isn't faith until it's put to the test. Next thing, God provides, his promises are about provision. His promises are for people. So I wrote some questions off to the side. Can I read those to you? It's about God's love. Do you know that you are loved, or do you believe that you're loved? I pray that you believe that you're loved. Do you know that God wants good for you, or do you believe that God wants good for you? In provision, do you trust God, or do you try and make it happen yourself? For people, do you trust people? For many people, it's an emphatic no, I don't trust people. I think I know why old people get mean. I know, that's really not nice to say. But how many of y'all have met a mean 5-year-old? I mean, they have them. But by nature, what are 5-year-olds? Right? Something happens in this life where the world wears on us. And I get it. And it's easy to not trust people. But I want us to know that part of God's promises is that we get to be in a healthy family. Psalm 68:6 is a life verse for me. God makes a home for the lonely. He makes a home for the lonely people. And then here's the third aspect of the promise. It's the path that we have for us. God guides us and leads us. Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And then the one who really guides us, it's God himself. It's his Holy Spirit. In John 20:22, Jesus says, it's the resurrected Jesus. He breathes on his disciples, which is kind of weird. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Because we have to be willing to receive the Spirit of God that's promised to us to walk out the path that he has for us. I've got to be able to receive his love. I've got to be able to receive his life. I've got to be able to receive his promises. Okay, how do I do it? I'm glad you asked. And we're going to go through these three very quickly, and then we're going to be done. So what do we need to receive? We need to receive God's love for us. We need to receive God's life and realize that he has a promise for us. We need to receive his promises. How do we receive his love? How do we receive his life? How do we do it? Because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the practical. I've got to know that I'm loved. I've got to know that God has a life for me. I've got to know that he has promises for me. But more than that, I got to believe him. And when I get to the place where I'm believing that I'm truly loved, when I'm believing that God has a life for me, and that I'm believing his promises are true. It's more than just knowing they've matriculated down into my heart and that I get them on the inside and I live by them. What do I do when my circumstances are contrary to those things? Like, I don't feel like I'm loved. I don't feel like God's got a life for me. I don't feel like his promises are coming true. Here's what you do. Three simple things. Here's the first one on how do we receive it. How? Y'all ready? So basic. We ask. We ask. Matthew 7:7-8. Jesus says, keep on, y'all gonna read this with me, and those yellow ones, y'all gonna say it with me. We're gonna do it quickly though. You ready? Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Come on, I gotta hear you. Keep on seeking and you will keep on, and the door will be open. Ask, ask. Let me tell you, the reason that many times I've been frustrated in my spiritual life and going, God, why am I not sensing your love? Why do I feel like my life is like going crazy right now? Why do I feel like your promises aren't coming true? And I look back and I realize that my prayer life has done this because the problems have done this. And sometimes that those are inverse, and I'll be honest, usually, I'm just gonna speak for me. Usually when the problems do this, my prayer life goes oop. And when the problems go oop, my prayer life goes doop. Has anybody ever had that happen? Yes. But there have been times when it's been inverse as well. The bottom line is that I need to ask. Ask, get a prayer journal, write it down, ask God. If you knock, he will open the door. If you ask, he'll answer. Keep asking. This is so simple. The reason that many people's prayers are never answered is because it's only thought and never asked. Have you ever had people assume things with you? Don't you hate it? I had a coach in high school very graphically demonstrate what the word assume meant for everybody involved. Have y'all seen that before? Yes. It's so true. God, where are you? Are you asking for God to show up? God, I just feel like I can't believe it. Everything's gonna fall apart. Are you asking God? Great. Ask. Here's the second thing. How do we receive? We ask. Here's the second thing. You go. You have to go. And here's where it's Matthew 28:19. Where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, the last thing he says to his followers, he says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Go and teach people how to follow me. The reason that most people are unable to go is because they're not really his disciple to begin with, because they question whether or not he loves them. They question whether or not he has a life for them. They question whether or not his promises are actually going to come true. But listen to me, when you get to the place when you more than just know about them, but you live them out because you believe them deep in your heart and you ask God, he may not answer right away. And you know what the tendency is? When God doesn't answer right away, guess what the tendency is for us? Has anybody ever frozen because you didn't know? Like, God, where are you? Can I tell you? Here's where you can go. You can go outside of yourself to show people God's love. How do you receive? You receive in the going. You receive in the asking. But sometimes there's a disconnect between the asking and the receiving. And here's what bridges the gap. It's the going. Am I making sense here? Because y'all are really quiet this morning. And here's the last thing as we wrap up. How do we receive? We ask. We go. And number three, we give. We give. Jesus says this in Luke 6:38. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. Can I just say, I think people, unfortunately, in the perversion of what people say is a prosperity message that Jesus was speaking here. I believe that it was prosperity, but I don't think it's relegated to the realm of money. And this is where it's been perverted, where people use this as a manipulative ploy to get somebody to open up their checkbook and write a check to them. And that's messed up. It's manipulative. It's evil and it's wrong. But this truth that Jesus is speaking is absolutely right. When you give, you end up receiving. You know this to be true. How many of you in a moment where you felt like you needed to give to somebody in need because you saw that it was extreme, like they really needed it, and you gave of yourself and they were touched, but guess who got the bigger blessing? Didn't you? Come on, has anybody here ever experienced that? I have. where you give of yourself, and what do you get? You receive something back. Give and you'll receive. Y'all read it with me. You ready? Give and you'll receive. The reason that we feel a lack in our lives is oftentimes because we fail to give. How do I receive? Yes, I think you're here because you want to receive God's love in your life. Yes or no? I think you're here because you want to receive the life that God has for you. Yes or no?
Yes.
I think you're here because you want to receive and walk in the promises that God has for you. Is that true? Here's how you do it. You knock and you ask, God, I'm asking you. Here's the second thing. Even though you may not get the answer, you keep going with God and you go in what you know he's called you to do, even though he feels like he's a million miles away, keep going. And the last one is really, it's the biggest one, I think. It's give. What do we give? Our time? Are you willing to give your time? Time is the most valuable thing you have, and it's actually really the only thing you have, because the past has already happened and the future is a fallacy. All we have is this moment. How much of my moments do I give to God? Do I give them just on Sunday? Do I give them just when I see somebody in need? Or do I give him every moment of every day? Give your time to God. Why does Paul say, he says this, it seems crazy, pray without ceasing. That means that we're constantly in the presence of God communicating with him. Am I giving to God of my time? Am I giving to God of my talent? Maybe you're an encourager. Encourage somebody. Let me tell you, when you encourage somebody and you operate in the way that God's gifted you, you get blessed. You receive from God. And the very thing that you lack, when you give that away, guess what you get? You reap what you sow. So in the times of depression and misery and isolation where I know I need to be around people, but I don't feel like I want to be around people, I've learned that in those moments of discouragement, if I give encouragement to other people, I'm sowing that into them. I get that back in me. Does this make sense, guys? My time, my talent, and my treasure. You know why, and even as speaking this, I know why I've never worried about money. I really haven't. I think I lost one night's sleep once in a moment of crazy crisis about it. And just ask my wife, it's just true. I don't worry about money because it's all God's anyway. But here's how I learned never to worry about money. From when I was little bitty, here's the principle that my daddy taught me. You faithfully give. My dad wasn't a tither. He was way more than that. My dad, when I got, y'all are gonna think it's crazy, in eighth grade, I started getting an allowance of $150 a month, but I had to buy everything. Underwear, deodorant, toothpaste, clothes, anything I wanted to do, and I'm doing chores for it. And when I started getting that, he said, son, I want you to understand something. This is how I handle finances. Now, he's in a different place than I am today for sure, and was back then too. And it may not be the place that you're in, but the principle is so true. He said, I give 33 1/3%. I give it away. I invest 33 1/3, and I live on 33 1/3. And so from a little kid, anytime they give me money for the offering, but when I was 14, you know what I started doing faithfully? Giving. And I watched my entire life, God meet me over and over and over and over. And you know what came out first? Always. 10% off the top. Not because some pastor was browbeating me. I saw people do it. It disgusts me. But I learned this. I put God to the test. And I gave. And he met me. I don't like talking about money. I very seldom do it. But I don't want to cheat you out of this truth. That when you ask God, he listens, you'll receive. When you go and what you know he's called you to do, you're gonna receive. And when you give of your time, when you give of yourself and the giftings that he's placed in you, when you give of your money, God blesses it. And here's how I learned in giving in all three of those areas. I'd sow myself, whether it was my time, whether it was my skill set. Even as a kid, I'm serving in church. I'm serving other people in a way that I can help them. I'm giving of my money. You know what I found? That over and over and over, I never operated in lack in any of those areas. I hope I'm making sense. And Jesus says, Acts 20:35, it says this. It says, I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. But the reason that people have trouble giving of themselves is because they've never received. And the perversion I believe the perversion of pastors who say, well, you need to give. They're missing the point in what Jesus says. It's not about the giving, it's about the reception. And when you're able to receive God's love and his life and his promises, when you're able to realize that he's given everything for you, giving becomes the natural byproduct. And that's what I want for you. I want you to receive. And when you feel that lack, you go, I'm going to ask, I'm going to go, I'm going to give. Because you'll never be able to say, I don't know God. There'll be moments where you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But here's how I said I never worried about money. Because even when it got to where I had two pennies to rub together and that's about it, I can look back on the times where God met me over and over and over. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're hearing you say, Pastor, I need to receive today. Maybe you're here and you need to know God loves you. But more than know it, you need to believe it. You need to believe that God has a life for you and he has promises that'll come true. Maybe you recognize you've lacked in asking or going or giving, but can I tell you, this is where it begins today. Here's how you receive. You say, here I am, God. I choose to receive from you. Nobody's looking around, and I'm not gonna embarrass you, but if you say, Pastor, today this message was for me. I need to receive from God. I need to receive. Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I know it. Thank you. Thank you. I see you back here. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all pray together. Say, dear Jesus, I open my heart and my life to you. I receive your love. I receive your forgiveness. I believe and receive. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we celebrate that?